Turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. This is an interesting chapter, and somebody asked me one time, where would you recommend somebody start reading the Bible if they'd never read it before? And I gave my answer, and I talked to another preacher, and I said, where would you recommend? He said, 1 Thessalonians. And I said, why would you recommend that they start in 1 Thessalonians? He said, because every chapter has to do with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if they can understand that doctrine, it's going to help them grow in the Lord. And I thought to myself, that's very interesting, because every chapter of 1 Thessalonians mentions the coming of our Lord. So we want to talk about that chapter tonight, and the first place we find the mention of the coming of the Lord is in verse 10, so we're going to read verse 9 and 10 of chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Paul is complimenting the Thessalonians. He says, they themselves, that is, the people in Macedonia and Achaia, show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll dive into this little study and hope to be an encouragement to you tonight. Brother Sal, if you'll pray for us, please. Yep. Amen. Amen. Well, what you're going to see is you're going to see five different things that are affected by your understanding of the doctrine of the coming of the Lord. And in this one, the context shows you that waiting on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 says, waiting on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ improves, first of all, our service to the Lord. He says in verse 9, how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven. The understanding the doctrine of the coming of the Lord improves our service to God because it makes us aware that He could come any day at any minute. And so we're always ready with what we're doing to be found doing what He wants us to do the way He wants us to do it. That's the point. Years ago, there was a fellow, and I've given this illustration a couple of times. It's such a good illustration, I'm going to give it again because I know you hadn't all heard it. You know, I'm getting to that age where I could say to you, I think I've told you this story before, but you're going to have to listen to it again. He worked for the queen at, there was an island separated from the main continent. And that island, he was the gardener, and he kept up the landscape. And from time to time, the queen would have guests that would come to see her in England, and they'd want to go out to that garden, and so they would. Well, of course, there weren't any ways of notifying the gardener that a special guest was, or a dignitary was coming out to see the garden. And so... On one occasion, a fellow went out there, and the place was pristine. I mean, it looked just like this did today after they mowed the grass. I mean, pristine. And he got a tour of the island, and he was just awestruck how beautiful it was. And the dignitary said to the gardener, the head gardener, when he got ready to leave the island, he said, "You must be expecting a visit from the queen." And he smiled and he said, "I always expect a visit from the queen." In other words, it looks like this all the time. See, when you expect the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, you wake up in the morning and say, "Okay, I'm going to serve the Lord today." But you also recognize this may be the day of His return and I want to do an especially good job today. And then notice he says, "and to wait for His Son." So you're patient in doing it. In other words, you don't, you know how when you have some special guests come to your house and you know they're coming, you start in the back of the house and you go all the way to the front of the house and you clean it up so they think it looks like this all the time. That's the way you do it. That's the way we do it. That's the way it happens, okay? And of course, it doesn't look like that all the time. It does for them, but you knew they were coming. All right, but that's not patient. That's like, oh man, you're so glad they left, you know. It's like the mother that said to the child when the guests sat down to supper, she turned to the child and said, you pray for the meal. And the child said, well, what should I pray? He said, well, just pray what I say. And so he said, okay. And they bowed their heads and said, oh, Lord, why do we have to have these guests? So, no, patiently serving the Lord, that is, I'm going to do a good job every day, but I'm not going to kill myself today thinking he's going to come back and let it slack for 6 days because I wore myself out. So it improves, you can see, it improves your service to the Lord. I remember when I was in eighth grade, and albeit in a Catholic school, the teacher, what a crazy question to ask, but he said, what would you do differently in the next 24 hours if you knew the Lord was coming back? Oh man, you know, I'd do this, I'd clean up my act, I'd do what my, you know, we all had unfinished business. But I'll never forget Jeff Latimer, who was a friend of mine, lived two blocks from my house. When he was asked that question, he said, I wouldn't change a thing. I'm always ready for him to come. I thought that was a profound answer for an eighth grader. Now, he may not have meant it, but boy, it sure stuck with me, I'll tell you. Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ improves our service to God. The second thing that it does is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It improves our ministry to others. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verses 19 and 20, last part of the chapter. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing, or not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Well, what he's saying there, we often say the crown of rejoicing is a soul-winning crown because you're trying to get more people in the presence of the Lord at His coming. But if you really look at it and examine the verses carefully, you see that it includes the whole ministry to others. I mean, it's not just about leading souls to the Lord, but what it is, it's the joy that you have in the presence of the Lord when the people you've been ministering to are in the presence of the Lord and they're in His presence in good shape. Yeah, you know, you don't have a string or a dead fish. You know, they're alive and healthy and doing good. And look what he says, that's our hope. That's our joy. That's Paul said, you want to know what makes me happy? What makes me happy is the thought of you being in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when He comes. The fact that you've gotten saved now, the fact that you're doing well now, the fact that you're looking for His coming. So what it compels us to do, thinking that the Lord may come today, it helps us to minister to the lost. Because we may not have a better opportunity. If the Lord were to come, we won't have another opportunity to minister to the lost than we do today. So it helps us to be a little bit more forward, really more against ourselves, getting over that resistance we normally have to say something to Him about the Lord. And it helps us to minister to those who are saved to help them to grow and reproduce so they can enjoy and have the same hope that we do. So knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and that one day we'll be in His presence really does improve our ministry to others. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we find something else that it helps us to do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. All right, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do towards you, to the end, in other words, that love of each other has an objective, to the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Now, you see what the context is, and you understand that what is in the context, anticipating and waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ improves our love of the brethren. It's in the context. Obviously, you get that, but you may not understand exactly how. And so notice that he says more about this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Keep reading down in verse 6. He says that no man, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have or also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. There's that word holiness again. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, and who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. So the love of one another increases our holiness because God hath not called us unto uncleanness. And he says, I don't want you to go beyond and defraud your brother. And he says, and keep in mind in verse 13 of the prior chapter, 3:13, that you will be unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And then he tells us in verse 6 that God is the avenger of all such as defraud. What's the point here? Well, the point is we are to increase and abound in love. In other words, our love for each other is not static. There was a point at which we realized we're brothers in Christ. We could honestly say, you know, I love you. But over time, our love for each other is to grow. It is to abound. Okay? But you know something I've noticed when you are love brethren and you're together a lot? There's friction. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, that's like in families. They talk about sibling rivalries. There's a little bit of friction. Because you get to know each other better and you get to know some of the good and some of the bad and all that kind of stuff. You know, if you maintain a little bit of distance and you don't grow in that love, you can get along well. If you get a little bit closer together, then there's a little bit of friction. I don't know about you, but I think I know. If you look in your life at some of the people that you're closest to, there have been some rough areas in your relationship. Take your spouse, for instance. And you're probably saying to me, God, I wish you would. You know. It hasn't always, listen, you love each other more now than you did before, but it hasn't always been smooth sailing. You, in other words, you're in your friendship, in your relationship, in your love for each other, there have been episodes of difficulty, and you have worked through those episodes of difficulty that have strengthened your relationship, and you don't really want to pay that price again, but because you did, you're better for it. All right, well, in the relationships that we have with the saints, some of the folks that I've known for decades, there's been friction in the relationship. It's not that we went after each other trying to find that friction. It's just you spend enough time together and enough cooperative things, and you have those rough areas, and you have to get through them. Now, knowing that Jesus Christ is going to come and hope to find one happy family is an encouragement to you to get through those rough spots before he gets here. Let me give you an example of how that has worked in my life. You know, some of you anyway, that the move from Beeville to Corpus Christi at first was tough. There were some very hard things that I experienced in the ministry as a result of leaving there and not knowing whence I was going until we got here. That's all I want to say about it. There was some heartache in it, and it involved people. And I tried, honestly, all the things you've tried to put it out of my mind, to pray through it, to read Scripture and find a verse of Scripture I could claim, to plead the blood of Jesus Christ, to confess maybe it was all my fault. I mean, you know, everything you've done, I did. And it still wasn't better. The one thing that really turned the corner for me was the realization that we all, I'm talking about the folks that were with us there in Beeville, we all, we're going to be standing before Jesus Christ after the rapture, bowing before Him and praising Him together. I got that vision. I mean, I got that sight, not, you know, whoo, I woke up and I had a vision. No, I mean, that's what the Bible says. I got that sight. And I thought to myself, what if we're right here together? And like, praise God, you scoundrel. You know? That ain't going to work. And I thought, and once we're through with this life and we're facing each other and we're facing Jesus Christ, none of that's going to matter anyway. And I'm telling you what, a healing balm came with that recognition, and that solved it forever for me. I never had another heartache about it after that. So I'm telling you, when you think of us being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is coming. It's no longer about us. It's all about Him. It's no longer about what He said or she said or he did or she did or this place. It's all about Him. And what happens when you anticipate and look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? It suddenly becomes all about Him now, not then. And it helps us to get through those difficult times in loving one another. And so he says, don't defraud others because the Lord is avenger of those things. You think, well, I'll just settle it now because I'm going to see Him. And when I see Him, it's all going to be done anyway. Do you understand? So that's the context of that. So waiting on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ helps improves our service to God because we expect He could be here any time. Our ministry to others because it gives a certain urgency and a constant desire to prepare and get ready for the love of the brethren, because we don't want to have any differences when we're up there together, and we're not going to anyway. And then this one in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. You're very familiar with the passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13 to 18 is about comfort for grieving. In other words, waiting for the coming of the Lord improves our comfort when we're grieving. Verse 13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Somebody said one time, God's no respecter of persons. Why do they get to rise first? That's easy. They have 6 feet of ground to make up. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Watch it. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You're going to sorrow if you lose a loved one between now and the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you don't have to sorrow as others which have no hope, because you know in a short period of time, by the comparison to all time, in a short period of time, He's coming. And you know what? We're going to be together again forever. Forever. Yeah. We're going to go up to Louisville Saturday. You're going to go up before then. I'm going to meet the Bates, and we're going to have the funeral service, the memorial service for his dad. And, you know, there'll be some healing in the things that are said and some comfort. But the great comfort is he got to talk to his dad about his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ before his dad left this earth. And you know what? They're going to be together again forever. And that's better than a guy that doesn't know where his relatives went and doesn't know where he's going. So waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ improves our comfort for grieving, because it's like, okay, I know I'm going to see him again. Praise the Lord. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, the coming of our Lord is mentioned one more time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, waiting for the coming of our Lord improves our sanctification, or the sanctification of our spirit and our soul and our body. Now, this is like the service of our God. We serve Him better when we expect He's coming, because He could come today. We are more likely to be sanctified and present ourselves wholly clean before Him when we expect that He's coming today. You know, I remember hearing a preacher, Dr. Upman was preaching one time, and he was talking about, you know, the Lord could come any time, and you'd sure hate to get caught in one of your favorite sins when He got here, wouldn't you? And he made this description, what I've always thought was funny. He said, that guy, he says, can you imagine some guy take a big old drag on a cigarette, and the rapture happens? And he, boop, you're up there in heaven. And the Lord's like, how are you? Fine. And I always thought, I never got that picture out of my mind. I always thought that was funny. You know what, if you thought it's just like it were you were a kid and you weren't sure exactly when your parents were coming home, but as it got later in the day and more likely that they would be there, you cleaned up your act. You know, you started your bad stuff right after they left, and you waited, you know, when you thought they might be coming home. You were like, I ain't going to get caught doing this. No way. And or particularly if you heard them drive up in the driveway. And you're not going to get that. You know, when you finally know he's here, poop, it's like in a moment of twinkling of the eye. There's no cleaning up your act then. It's like, wow, we're out of here. So it really helps your sanctification because you're always expecting he could come, and I don't want him finding me doing something that he doesn't want me to do. Now, let me tell you something. In my life, when I got really turned around for the Lord, I started reading booklets and pamphlets and tracts and books and Bible, lots of Bible, and learning all these doctrines. And, of course, I learned about the judgment seat of Christ and the second coming of Christ and restoration of Israel and, you know, judgments and baptisms and all those kinds of things. I mean, I just was devouring that stuff. This doctrine, the doctrine of the rapture, the doctrine of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, did more to encourage me to get cleaned up for the Lord. He does the cleaning, but it encouraged me to get cleaned up for the Lord more than any other doctrine besides the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, I had some making up to do. There was some time redeeming back there. And I mean, I threw it into high gear because I thought, good night. You know, I was learning a lot of stuff from Dr. Ruttman at that time. Jesus was supposed to be here May the 14th, 1989. I had a lot to do in a short period of time, man. But that's what it's for. It's to remind us to let that sanctifying work of the Word of God really go to work on us and get us spick and span so we're more ready for that coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. Now listen, this lesson here is a simple little lesson, but it covers five things in your life that are very important. Your service to God, your ministry to others, your love of the brethren. And you know it's important because it keeps showing up all through the New Testament. Your comfort for the grieving and your sanctification. And perhaps tonight what's happened is the Lord rang your bell just a little bit. Ding-a-ling, that little area in your life where you've been having trouble. Relate that to this message and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and hopefully then looking for the Lord to come will strengthen the weakness in your life and help you to improve in the same way that it's designed to here in the Scripture, in the same way that it's been an improvement in my own life. And I hope it's a help to you. Amen. Father, we're thankful tonight for an opportunity to study the words of God. I'm asking you, please, just to be a boost to us. We know you're coming. And it'd be real nice if you came right now. I guess the Woods would like to see that 10 grand before you got here, but I think they'd rather see you. And I'm thankful, Father. Thankful for these folks that are eager and desirous to be a help when there's a need. Thank you so much, Father, for these great instructions in the Scripture. And may we truly go to bed tonight in anticipating your return. Wake up in the morning listening for the shout. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.